This is the Wednesday evening plenary, December 28th from Atlanta 05, the National Conference of InterVarsity's Black Campus Ministry. The conference theme is Identity Theft, Expose, Reclaim, Prevail. And this presentation by Ministers Aberdeen and Rosalind Allen is entitled DNA. Aberdeen and Rosalind Allen are involved in ministry through the Cathedral International Church in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Their high-energy, frank presentation focuses on male and female identity in the black community.
We don't know who we are anymore. We pretend like we know, and we use this thug mentality, this hardcoreness, this I'm Mr. Man as a way to bring forth identity. But is that the true identity that God has called for each and every one of you to be in this place?
Christian people are beginning to gather unto themselves. They're beginning to look at the world and to think that the world is appealing, just like Eve did, making you all think that you're missing something. God wants to use you, but he can't use you while you're walking in idolatry. You're actually idolizing that imagery, that lifestyle, that persona, and God has a better way for you.
Their message is that God's way is the best way, and good things come in their right time. Sex is for the married couple, which Rosalind illustrated with a story about a Christmas gift that was opened early.
But the anger that I felt at this little boy, which I thought had opened up gifts ahead of time, just sent me into a rage. How much angrier must God be if y'all are opening up the wedding present before the wedding?
And now here are Aberdeen and Rosalind Allen speaking at Atlanta 05.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord,
Go
everybody.
Praise his name, everybody.
Y'all better
God
do something in this place tonight.
Be
y'all better get up on your feet
Come
and praise the God of that we serve. Let's
he's
get on our feet and praise the Lord.
He's
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where's my minute? Where's my minute? Where are my minute? Let me hear my name. Raise your voice in this place, men of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Have your way in this place, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place, oh God. Do a new thing in our midst, oh God. Do a new thing in our midst, oh God.
Y'all don't know why we're praising like we are. Y'all do not know why we're praising like we are. For the last 2 months, I've been under attack physically. My body has been racked. I dropped over 30 pounds. I was had internal part of bleeding, doing everything. The doctors couldn't figure it out. They didn't even think I was going to be here.
Yeah.
But look what prayer and God can do.
Hallelujah! Yeah! Hallelujah!
The devil is a liar. Devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar.
And the father of
the
lies.
The devil is a liar.
And the father of lies.
Yeah, and on our way down here,
thank you, Jesus.
On our way down here, we were on the airplane, you know, nice flight during Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, we're flying down, get on the plane, we get up about 26,000 feet, boom, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking, we're going to have a little bumpy ride in front of us, so we just advise everyone to fasten up their seatbelts and stay in their seats. All right, that's cool. Trey, my little son with us, Trey, wife is with, y'all all right? Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, do-do-do, okay. Do-do-do. Boom. Stewardesses, please secure all your stations, strap in, and nobody move in the plane. Boom. Right in. Jesus. As we were going, no lie, I kid y'all not, as we were going, the captain's like, boom, and when you know it's bad, when you hear the captain's voice getting nervous, boom, we're trying to climb as high as possible to get through this turbulence. We don't know what's going to happen, so just hold on. How you going to tell somebody, hold on, 28,000... Hold on to what?
God's unchanging hand. That's about it. My God.
So as we were going, literally, A big gust of wind came, rocked the plane this way, real hard. I mean, literally, rocked it this way. The plane went this way. The pilot had tried to over-adjust, plane rocked back this way. Then it dipped, and all of a sudden you heard the engines going, gearing up real high. And me, I was calling on the name of Jesus because I knew that I had a mission. And my mission was to come down here to Atlanta and set some people free.
Yeah.
I knew that my mission was to come down here and kill the devil.
Yeah.
So I am glad that as we hit 32,000 feet and that plane just hit, and the captain comes back on, boom, ladies and gentlemen. like he knew what he was doing all along. We found an altitude that was very comfortable, and we're going to stay here at this 32,000 feet, and the flight should be very nice all the way down. And we got into it, what are we going, North Carolina?
Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. You talking about a brother? I got off that plane. I was like, I went right up to the front. Yo, good job, man. Good job. I kid you not. So we just praise God for this opportunity.
Yes.
We're excited to be here.
Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Woo! Woo! Y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all say ready for the word when I say that. Are y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, take your seats if you can. We are so excited to be in your midst on tonight. It is our honor to be up in this place. It sounds like somebody came with a praise in here. Yeah? Yeah, it sounds like somebody up in here loves the Lord, as do we. And this is your fifth, am I right, your fifth annual conference? Y'all know five is the number of grace. Is it not the fifth? I hear confusion. Five is the number of grace. You know that? Five, and grace is going to be in the place in here on tonight. I don't care what you've done. We don't care what you've been into. God's grace is sufficient for all of us in this place. So we just want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here. We bring you greetings all the way from New Jersey. NJ in the house.
Jersey.
And I work in New York. So is New York City in the house? And my husband's from Boston, so it's Massachusetts in the house. And I'm from Philadelphia, so it's Philadelphia in the house. But last but not least, is anybody who loves Jesus in the house? Yes, 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 yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bring you greetings from Perth Amboy, New Jersey, where our Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr. is the presiding pastor and senior pastor there. We want to give much dap. Y'all understand big up? We want to big up your conference committee. That means we want to praise highly your conference committee. From Pastor Boris Collins, come on, that man has worked hard to get you here. To his supportive wife, Dr. Alice Brown Collins, we thank God for her. Y'all, those of you who know her, need to know that she was actually my professor at Brown University many years ago. So I thank God for the opportunity to see her and to see she's still a fireball and still on fire for God. And for all those who have helped us today, from Joe to Elena to Marcia, all y'all, you know who you are. Much love. We thank you so much for your support. So with that, do y'all know there's a war going on? There's a war going on, and it's a war for your mind. It's not about guns necessarily. It's not about Uzis. It's a war for your mind. And just like in a chess match, you have to know what side you're on. And just like in strategic maneuvers in the army and in warfare, you have to understand the mastermind behind the strategy and the enemy's plan. So there's something that InterVarsity has put together that we've asked them to roll during our introduction because it's going to get you thinking a little bit. So if y'all are ready in the back, roll tape. your hands together. That was a well done montage. Brother Dan in the back put that together, and he did a wonderful job of putting together some imagery that bombard young people on a regular basis. Imagery that impacts not just men, but women, not just boys, but girls, not just old, but the young. And we all have to understand the mastermind, the master plan behind these images that are bombarding us on a regular basis. Bow your heads with us real quick. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of your son, Jesus. We come here, Lord, asking you, Father God, to expose the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for every person under the sound of our voices, Father God, that the fallow ground of their hearts would be opened up so that they can receive truth, oh God. Father, we pray right now for images of male and female, Father God. We pray right now even for our society, Lord, who seems hell-bent on destruction. But God, we thank you, Lord God, that you always raise up a remnant. And God, there's a remnant in this place on tonight, oh God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to empower the remnant. You're going to deliver the remnant. You're going to set them free and on fire for you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen.
And one of the interesting things about that video, as you saw the family image being portrayed first and foremost. And now, all of a sudden, that image, that family structure is gone. As you saw, where it was interchanged with the hardness. Brothers out there perpetrating, trying to pretend like they're somebody that they're not. Brothers out there trying to pretend to be these thuggers and these muggers. Because why? There's no cohesiveness anymore in the communities. We've lost our identity. We don't know who we are anymore. We pretend like we know. We pretend like we know, and we use this thug mentality, this hardcoreness, this I'm Mr. Man as a way to bring forth identity. But is that the true identity that God has called for each and every one of you to be in this place? You saw that faith was rejected. Because how in the world can you say you love God and trust God, but yet walk around with a 45? How can you say you love God and trust and faith God and have faith in God and you can't commit to one woman? How in the world can you say you love and trust God and have faith in God when you can't have a healthy relationship? The sexual boundaries are gone. There are no more boundaries. New York City, I don't know who's who anymore. I don't know who to say, Mr., Mrs., what? Don't know. Substance abuse is glorified. Back in the day, just say no was a thing. Now it's, where's some trees? Give me some blunts. Give me some, look, give me this, give me that. Boundaries completely gone. Gone. Why? Because we lost our identity.
So what we need to find out is, what does God have to say all about this? What does God think about what's going on, this war that's going on? And we also need to kind of figure out what side we are on as individuals. Amen? You got to understand. I mean, we can't be lukewarm. He said if we're lukewarm, he'll spew us out of his mouth. I don't want to be spat out like vomit. I don't know about you, but I don't. I'd rather be on the Lord's side. So the bottom line is, there's some stuff that we got to talk about tonight that goes a little bit deep.
And can we be real?
No.
That's my friend G. Sanford walk. I like Fred G. Sanford. Sanford, son, can we be real?
Yeah.
No, y'all understand something. Y'all say that, and then when we say stuff, y'all, oh, I can't believe they said that. Oh. Then your mind go, can we be real?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're looking to figure out here, who is the mastermind behind the war? What's going on in these airways? What's going on in the minds of young adults and young people? What's really going on? What's the master plan? Who's in control here of this downward spiral of our society? What's the deal? What's the real deal? So I want you to look at somebody. I want you to look at your neighbor on your left and on your right. Make sure you coordinate.
Coordinate.
Look at them.
Coordinate.
And ask them the eloquent Ebonics question. Who's your daddy? Come on, say it. You in Atlanta, say it like you country.
You in Atlanta, we in Atlanta. Come on.
Who's
now.
Your daddy?
Who your daddy is?
If you really want to go there.
Is that your baby daddy? Is that your...
If you really want to go there, you could really get ghetto and say, who your daddy is?
Who your daddy is? Oh, Jesus. Pray for us. Pray for us. All right. Back to the Word of God. Can you turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28? Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And then we will skip over to verse 31. And then also, so put your thumb there, because we love the Bible, y'all. We love the Word. So we're going to study the Word. We're just going to be all up in the Word. Then you want to go put your finger there. Then you want to put your, find John 10:10. And then after finding John 10:10, you want to find Romans 12, 1 through 3. Yeah, that's right. Woo! Y'all better have pen and paper. You got, can't come in here faking the funk like you just going, we're going to play patty cake with the devil. We're here to tear down some strongholds. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Skipping over to verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
And then John 10:10, the Gospel of John 10:10. And I'm going to read it in the King James Version.
King Jimmy?
King Jimmy first.
Oh, okay.
It says, the thief, I hear pages still turning. If you don't have it, say, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's in the New Testament.
It's John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Right before the book of Hezekiah.
Y'all got to say amen. Amen. All right. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And then flipping over to Romans, keep on going back. Romans 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3 in the New International Version. It's all good. I can flip if I want to flip. Romans 12. Verses 1 through 3. You got to say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, or as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world got a pattern. Did you know that? The world got a pattern. Okay. To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks
now,
be
as
to
we
God.
Read in Genesis, starting out, we see a wonderful state where we're in being created by God. We're in his beautiful sight. We're these lovely people, wonderful creatures, and God has given us everything to do. We're pretty much in an unfallen state as they did. Oh, that skit, y'all, where they? I can't see it. That skit was like, that was like so on point, y'all. Y'all, that skit was so on point. So on point because it reaches where we were going with this thing tonight. I mean, I was up here almost doing cartwheels. My wife had to hold me down a little bit because I was just getting a little happy.
A little excited.
God, during this time, gave us dominion and authority. We were to rule over the earth. We were to be rulers. We had purpose. Men, we were working. We were out in the fields, naming the animals. You know what? As Adam, you know, we had a purpose. We had fellowship with God. Can you imagine walking in the cool of the morning, hand in hand, arm in arm with God? Being able to just look up at him and you're like, yo, G, what's up? I'm chilling. How about you? Yeah, it's all good. Being able to commune and being able to do that. We had healthy relationships between man and woman where I love you. You really? Oh, thank you. You didn't say that today. All right, thank you. We have a little
excuse
thing.
Excuse us. No.
We try to say I love you to each other at least, you know, 5 or 6 times a day. You know, just to... my boo. That's my boo. Just so y'all brothers know, I was in the military. I'll jack you up.
They ain't gonna invite us back here, honey. They ain't invite us back.
We had a shared purpose. We were coming together to work together to bring forth godly seed, as we saw in that video, where we had families coming together that were bringing forth fruit, that were worshiping God, and the world could see that God was alive. And God even said that we were created. And when he, if y'all take a look at when he was doing the creation thing, he was like, yeah, it was good, it was good, it was good. This is the only time when you're looking at the whole creation thing where he says, this is very,
very good.
We are very good in the eyes of God. We were created to be these wonderful beings, but somewhere along the line, we lost it. We fell. Mm-hmm. Sin came in. And when sin came in, what happened?
After the fall, it all got messed up. You all saw the skit, and y'all know that's real. Once sin entered in, the beautiful utopian society that we had going for ourselves got all messed up. This is a little tangent, but did y'all realize that God didn't show up on the scene to confront until Adam partook of the fruit? Y'all ever notice that? What if Adam had just said, I'm sorry? What if Adam had just said, Lord, you know what? My wife sinned, and I just sinned as well. I'm sorry. We might all still be running around naked in Eden. But the bottom line is, that's not the way it went down. That's not what happened. That's not what Adam did. What happened once sin entered into the picture was there was all this blame shifting. Here comes Adam talking about, the woman you gave me, she made me eat it. And then here comes Eve. Well, that serpent, he was the one who... So all this blame shifting and passing the buck, and it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Difficulty, where there was a harmonious interpersonal relationship, now there's stress and there's strife and there's discord and disorder.
Sound familiar, huh?
The other thing that was a part of the curse, you realize beforehand, work was effortless. Just to set the record straight, Adam had a job, then he got the wife.
Brothers.
Just so you know.
Oh, we gonna get real up in here, brothers. Y'all ain't gonna like me after tonight, but I don't care because I'm on a mission, brothers.
Okay. We in the book. Adam had the job first, then he had the wife, okay? So the bottom line is, once sin entered into the picture, now all of a sudden, there's toil as Adam was working. There was pain, not only in his productivity, but in their reproductivity. In the midst of her bearing children, Eve bearing their seed, there was pain that now entered into the picture. So if we kind of look at this whole theme that y'all have going on, this identity theft, and tonight we're supposed to be talking about DNA and kind of working this theme of DNA through there. What was interesting to note is that at the onset, my God, at the onset, God said that they were very good, right? And it also said that we were already made in God's image, right? So it was totally a trick of the enemy for him to tell Eve, you will become like God if you eat this fruit. It was a lie. She was already in his image. The trick of the enemy was to try to get her to believe she was naive and missing something. And that's the same thing the enemy's doing with many of your minds, trying to get you to think that you are missing something by living saved. But the devil is a liar and the father of lies. So what happened was that the DNA that was God's DNA that was running all through them and his imagery and all that got mutated. The godly DNA was mutated by sin once they both fell. What you say about that?
But what I say is that not only did we have mutated genes, but many of us really don't know the history of us in the Bible.
You're right.
Because we all hear the, you know, because I love to debate and argue the Bible. I love it. And I got a lot of my Muslim brothers when I go get my hair cut. Yo, man, that's the white man's religion. I'm like, no, it ain't. You don't know your Bible. You don't know your Bible. You don't know your Bible. If you knew your Bible, you know what's up. And many of us, if we knew our history, and one thing I really want to stress about this is that understanding your history does not undermine the power of Christ.
That's right.
Christ
That's
is the
right.
one that gives us our self-esteem. Christ is the one that gives That's us right. our hope. Christ is the one that gives us our future. But understanding the history, you will begin to understand and walk around with the sense of, hey, we do have a presence. Now, how many know Ham? Ham. Ham in the Bible,
Noah's
right?
Son.
I'm not talking about food, y'all. Everybody, Ham. Chicken, cornbread. Everybody getting all hungry, smacking their lips. Put a little pineapple slice on top.
With a maraschino y'all, cherry.
Y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy. Well, if you as we take a look, this is real brief. I want to run through this because I could spend all night on this and I'll get slapped. My wife will hit me and I'll get in trouble. If you take a look at the history of the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10, you see everything listed out. You see the table of nations listed out. And in that table of nations, you see Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Shem, his name means or represents the Jews or the Arabs, 26 nations. Japheth represent the European nations, 14 nations. Ham, which skins means black, dark, had over 30 nations being birthed out of him. If you take a look throughout the history, you see us everywhere throughout the Bible. And that's why it's so important for you not to just sit here and read the scripture and you need to understand and become students of the Bible. Because as I became a student of the Bible and I really began to understand my history in this book, which is the Word of God, which is the truth, I began to walk and hold myself up in a different manner. My wife will tell you, for a long time in church, back up in Boston, I used to come to church because I was real militant. I was like crazy. I used to come to church with jungle boots, camouflage pants, a black shirt, my African medallion. You know the one with the African medallion with the fist? That was like in the 80s, y'all. I know some of y'all are like, what is he talking about? I don't know that. We look young, but you know. And I had my little beret on, and I would walk into church like, Jesus is black! Fight the power! Until I realized that not only was I offending my brothers and sisters, I was offending people, my white brothers, my Indian brothers, because we are all one nation. We all come from the same father. And so with that, I want y'all to really grasp and understand the history behind this. We are kings and princesses. We are queens. We come from a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. So don't let the devil steal the identity. Don't let the devil try to trick you and think that the only way that you can get respect is to walk around with a gun. The only way that you can get respect is to walk around wearing the latest fashion, trying to look, you know, like 50 and all those other characters and all those guys. understand your history. For real.
But the bottom line is that Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what we read in John 10:10, right? What's he trying to steal? Your identity. It's the name of your conference. He is trying to trick you into believing that you are not who God says you are. He is truly trying to keep your eyes blinded so that you keep walking in an unfallen state. Either you're a person who never realizes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him. I know it sounds narrow, but it's in the book. It's scripture. So he comes to steal our identity, or if we are already Christians, he comes and he tries to make us think that we're missing something. Makes us think that, oh, the Christian life is boring. The Christian life, God is just a cosmic killjoy. Can't have no fun just because I'm saved. The devil is a liar. He is. He is a liar and the father of lies. So what we are going to do is expose the tricks of the enemy. There are many media images that unfortunately Christian people are beginning to gather unto themselves. They're beginning to look at the world and to think that the world is appealing, just like Eve did. Making you all think that you're missing something because you're living saved. Guess what? You're on the right side if you're saved. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But the devil's coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. You choose. Stealing, killing, and destroying, being robbed of your future and identity, or God saying hope and a future. God wants what's good for you. He wants what's best for you, and he knows what's best for you. Those of you who feel up to it, feel free to turn to Ephesians 2:2. That scripture confirms what we're saying about these media images, these fallen images that are really bombarding us and bombarding our minds. Satan is real.
Yes.
Not fake.
Right.
Not a figment of someone's imagination. Satan is a real negative force, a real negative spirit, a fallen angel. And Satan has been given access to the airways. Read Ephesians 2:2. And what that means is that the television set is being influenced by his desires. The music is being influenced by his desires. The magazines are being influenced by his desires. Media is being impacted adversely because he's been given limited access. So there are several images that we're finding are pervasive in terms of media. If it's not in a movie, it's in a book. If it's not in a book, it's in a magazine. If it's not in a magazine, it's in a video. It's just pervasive. And there's several images that we need to just dissect. Is that okay, y'all? Just, can we go there? All right.
We're gonna
get into that. Because know that whatever God has for us, Satan always tries to counterfeit it. He does. He tries to counterfeit it. And if he can't counterfeit it, then he's going to try to pervert it. Okay, so that beautiful skit that you did, Isha, beautiful the way it started out. But because of the fallen state of man and sin entering in, it became perverted and distorted and sin entered in. Okay, so the first type of image that we need to talk about, the first type of fallen image that we're seeing young people, young women in particular, gravitate to, and young men gravitate to, is the video vixen. The video vixen.
Oh, yeah. See, didn't we say?
I know.
Now look at y'all.
What's a video vixen? A video vixen is a so-called tight body having, scantily clad person who lives to please men, maybe called a hoochie, okay? Supposedly, this molten sexuality, just oozing with sexuality, ever ready, supposedly the epitome of beauty, falling all over men, being taken care of. You all know the image. You all know the image. There are books that are being written now about it. What is the appeal of this image? Why is it that some of our Christian young women now are trying to look like, dress like, act like Beyonce, Ashanti, whoever it is. Why is that? What's the appeal of that? Well, a couple things.
Break it down till it's broke.
It appears that these people are having a good time, right? A good time all the time. Life is just happy, happy, joy, joy, fun, party, clubbing, good food, eating scrimps in the club.
Drinking Cavassier.
Cavassier, bling, all bling. That, right? So it seems like they're having a good time. It also looks like these women have power over men, right? They just, because of the way that they move, because of the way that they shake, they've got this incredible power over men. They also seem to be appealing to our young Christian women because they're seen as trophies. The prettiest ones, supposedly, are in the same videos over and over and over again. And we see our women trying to, okay, so-and-so dyed their head fire engine red. I'm going to dye my hair fire engine red. Now, if that was your idea, if that was something you want to do, express your individuality, fine. But if you're trying to look like somebody on a video, who's influencing you? Who's really influencing your mind and your actions if you're following behind all the latest trends in the videos? Remember who we said who was controlling that whole atmosphere. All right. Well, how does Satan use this video vixen persona? All right. Couple of things. One, he uses this sort of imagery, this sort of a label that people are adopting and gravitating to spread a spirit of lust. Shauna, if you look at the videos now, you will, if you're a human being, you will more than likely be led into a spirit of lust. The movements, it's basically soft porn now. It is. And some of it after midnight.
BET Uncut. BET Uncut. BET Uncut! Uncut!
It's porn!
Y'all know what it is.
It's straight up porn.
Watching the video in your dorm room. Yo, dog, what you doing? Nothing. Why don't you come over, man? We play some videos. All right. Watch BET Uncut.
The enemy is also using that persona because there's a worship of false gods. There's a worship of money. There's a worship of power. There's a worship of sexuality and sensuality. He gets people to throw away common sense and to think that sleeping with multiple partners has no derogatory effect on a person's psyche. It does. We weren't created to have more than one sexual partner outside of death. If a spouse dies, yeah, then you can remarry. But the bottom line is we weren't created to have all these people, multiple partners. Well, the other thing we're finding is that it's drawing away our children. How many of y'all got nieces or little sisters? Or they can dance the dances in the videos better than you can.
Ain't that
and
the
you
shame?
Know
Ain't
it.
That the God's honest truth?
And it doesn't even look right to see a six-year-old little girl doing those movements. It doesn't even look right. But you know what? Some of them learn the moves from you. They watched you and they picked up the moves. All right, moving on. All right. How do you know if you're beginning to assume or idolize that persona, that video vixen persona? Couple of things. You just might be assuming the identity of a video vixen if you are shopping in Victoria's Secret and you ain't married.
Ain't married, ain't got a ring on your finger, ain't got nothing on your finger, and you up in Victoria's Secret. Why?
Men and women. Why you need satin underwear?
What you need it for?
It's because you want somebody to see it. That's why. You better go on down to Target and Marshall's and get them cotton underwear and save your little money.
Why?
Please, don't get me started up in here. Another sign that you just might be idolizing the video vixen persona is if you can dance better in the club than you can in the house of God.
Get your praise on. Praise? My praise on?
What? Somebody ask you to praise the Lord in a dance and you get an attitude. You get a straight up attitude. Just pointing out a few ideas.
Just pointing it out.
You also might just be assuming the ID, ooh, identity Jesus, of a video vixen.
I gotta sit down for this one.
If your jeans are so tight, that you can see the crack of the person's behind, the camel toe, and the thong at the same time. It's nasty!
Nasty.
Nasty. Nasty. It stank.
Oh, see, we're trying to expose the devil up in here. See, we're up here trying to expose the devil because these are assumed identities that the world wants to throw on us as Christians. So we're going to expose it. We're going
to
expose it.
Got to.
I ain't afraid. We're going
to
expose it. We're going there.
Got to. All right. We run out of time.
Okay.
So what does God have to say to the video vixen? What does God have to say to her? Listen, because some of you are sitting here right now, and even though you're laughing, you're realizing as we are talking about these things that you have begun to idolize imagery that God never intended for you to walk in. Some of you are really feeling uncomfortable in this place right now because you realize that the enemy's media infiltration has begun to infiltrate your spirit. And you're going to want to know what to do about it. And we're going to get there. I promise you, we're going to get there. But the word of the Lord to those of you who are struggling with that is that God wants to use you, but he can't use you while you're walking in idolatry. You're actually idolizing that imagery, that lifestyle, that persona. And God has a better way for you. He has a better persona for you. Let's keep on going, babe.
Brothers, we got the pimp life. A brother who has a harem, basically. And I'm not talking about, you know, back in the day where it was, you know, you had the hat and the El Dorado and you're driving around the street. Yo, where's my money? Where's my money? Or anything like that. We're no longer the Huggy Bear. Now it's the fast life. And I'm going to go there because you want to know why? Because I love Jesus. We got brothers who are in fraternities. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm stepping on toes. I'm 240 pounds. Ain't nobody hang gonna kick my behind. I'm sorry. I'm 240. Got more numbers in your phone book than the Matrix whole system. You running around here with the bling, trying to impress people, trying to do all of this stuff. You basically are pretty much the same thing as a video vixen. You just want to walk around spreading your sensuality, trying to lift up your shirt like these little rap videos with their little bird chests and little bird stomachs showing off their little bird abs. That's not God. You throw away common sense. We worship God. We worship the gods of money, power, and sexuality. And we see that our young boys, because we see them coming up, my six-year-old, it's a common battle for me every day. He comes in the house without his belt on. I'm like, boy, you better put your belt on. I'm going to use it. You know I'm going to use it for. All right, Dad, sorry. Shoes untied. Boy, tie your shoes. Pull your pants up. It's grabbing our young people. And so we really got to be careful. And you know that you're falling into this when the cost of your outfits exceeds your savings account. When you got to spend every dime you got to get a throwback jersey, and you broke and you can't get nothing to eat, and then you're leeching off of some woman because now you ain't got no money. Use a pimp. Player. And God is calling us to be more noble.
Another image is the domineering, loud woman. The domineering, loud woman. Also known as the SWA, sister with attitude. The reason that people assume that identity, I mean, this identity says that I will never let anybody hurt me. Mm-hmm. I would rather push them away before they hurt me. My words will cut you down. I'm loud. I'm boisterous. I won't let you get a word in edgewise. But the bottom line is that this person is looking to keep their vulnerabilities hidden. That's why it looks to be so appealing. That's why some of us are like, okay, well, I need to find my voice. I need to go that route too. They're assertive and aggressive and nobody seems to walk all over them. But you know what? Really, they're trying to hide from pain. They're trying to put up a wall so that people don't infiltrate their own vulnerabilities and hurt them even further. How Satan uses this person is that that person often causes division. Y'all know people on your campuses who are always up in the middle of mess. Always got something to say and always up in the middle of mess. This person causes division. The person oftentimes feels isolated because they push so many people away. People are just like, I don't want to deal with you. You're just so negative all the time. You're just loud and I don't want to deal with you no more. So they push people away and these people often turn to substance abuse. They may become violent. If you push them, they may actually throw down. They may actually become violent. So the enemy can use that violence to spread a spirit of fear. You just might be idolizing that imagery, that fallen image of a woman or of womanhood if you have a problem with everybody. Can't nobody do nothing right by you. No, other people are always to blame. It's never your fault. You're always the victim. People tell you, why are you so loud? You're like, I ain't loud. Glasses shattering and, you know, decibel readings on the, you know, no.
Eyes popping out.
Eyes popping, you know, all of that. If people have told you, why you always got an attitude? I ain't got no attitude. That's just how I am. People in my family are just, no. No. We're supposed to be a new creation in Christ, right? The old has passed away. We got new DNA, right? So the bottom line is that the enemy wants many of us to idealize, really just raise up that image of the domineering woman as a way to go. And what God has to say to those who are actually beginning to take on that label, beginning to take on that persona, saying, okay, yeah, that seems to work. Yeah, if I'm hardened, can't nobody get to me. Nobody can hurt me anymore. God is saying, you know what? I want to use you as a herald for me. I really do. Your boldness can be a benefit. Think about it. It was women who ran to tell about the resurrected king. There were women whose mouths were used to herald that. They were the first evangelists. Okay? But God says, I can't use you because you push people away. I can't. You're a repellent. You're supposed to be a magnet, attracting people to my light and drawing them in.
And then we've got the brothers with the violent intimidators, brothers who use violence as a way of control because, once again, they hurt. And I'm sorry. I am sorry. There's two things in the kingdom of God that just gets me just ramped. I just want to just break necks. People... I'm serious. Child abusers in the kingdom and men who are punks that raise their hand to strike a woman. Yeah. I'm serious. Because the God that we serve is a loving God. It's a God. He's a God who cares. And so why do we men feel the need to actually raise our hand to hit somebody to bring them under control? If you find yourself in that situation, I'm serious. You need to get up at this altar ASAP. I kid you not. My wife and I, we counsel young couple, married couples. And this past year alone, we saw three marriages break up. One of 21 years because of domestic violence. One of roughly 5 years of domestic violence. Another one of 16 years of domestic violence. Move on, babe. Go ahead, because I'm getting angry. And so, brothers, if you are in that label, if you feel that on you, get up here. Sisters, more importantly, if you are in a relationship where you are getting battered, where you are getting abused, For God's sake, tell somebody. Don't be ashamed. It's not your fault. It's the brother. And finally, because of time, we were going to hit a couple of ones. We're going to hit on our favorite one. We're going to do sexual explorers.
Let's go there.
Sexual explorers. Can someone explain to me what the term bi-curious means?
My God.
Bi-curious.
Wow.
Why? What is bi-curious?
This next category is sexual explorers. You all know that, the 60s was, if it feels good, do it. Now, it's like, if you even think it might feel good, do it.
Do it.
I mean, it's again, perverted. And this whole issue of sexual exploration, are people who are engaged in sex outside of marriage. It includes fornicators, lesbians, homosexuals, masturbators, bisexuals, people engaged in bestiality, all of that. Y'all are laughing. It's going on.
Right.
There are pets living in horror.
Y'all laughed. There was a case in New Jersey. A guy in a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it with a Rottie, but.
We kid you not. And the reason that people are assuming this identity, they're seeing this in videos, they're seeing it in all the movies, these so-called steamy sexual scenes,
right.
And oh, just do it. One night stands, all of that. And they think that it's truly going to bring this high. They truly think that it's going to take them to a higher level, to the point where sexuality is almost worshipped now. People think that they're going to get a higher high. You've got kids hanging themselves to try to get a stronger orgasm. What is that? But the devil. The devil is a liar. He's trying to take you out. Steal, kill, and destroy.
And then we have situations where, I don't need no man. I got Bob. I got my battery-operated friend, boyfriend. Battery-operated boyfriend. Think about it.
Bob. Now they get it. Now they're getting it.
Marinated. Sisters, brothers, we're just all over the place. We're influenced with this thing, with this term that I've been hearing. It's called secondhand sex, where the magazines, everything is just, I watched an episode of Girlfriends, and I was appalled at what I saw. And in it to show that what I so thought turned out to be something where I was just like, my goodness, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. For a higher high? For 10 minutes of pleasure? You're going to throw away your whole life, your destiny, your future, all that you have for 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. And the reason people are really assuming that identity is because, it looks like these people who are just sexual beings are never alone. They're jumping from relationship to relationship, from person to person. They're never alone. They're never lonely. They're always in these relationships. They've got no strings attached to them. They seem to have really high self-esteem because they're very comfortable with their bodies. They seem to spiritualize their experiences. They seem to just be at another level. It seems like it's just all good in the hood for them. How does Satan use this persona? You ever heard the term soul ties? Soul ties, according to 1 Corinthians 6:16, refers to the transfer in the spirit realm that occurs when two people, or more than that, come together sexually. Oh, but we just did everything, but we didn't really, he didn't penetrate. Well, not there. He penetrated somewhere else, but not there. No, there is an exchange, and you wind up going through life with a part of that person's spirit. So that once you do finally meet Mr. Right, Ms. Right, you've got all these issues. You're bringing 20 other people into the bedroom because of this spiritual exchange that went on. Listen, sex, lovemaking is God's wedding gift to a married couple. Period. Yeah. End of story. I bought 2 pairs of shoes for our 6-year-old son. It was supposed to be a Christmas present. And I came home. And done some more shopping, and I came home, and my son comes running over to me, and he says, Mommy, thank you for the 2 pairs of shoes. It was not Christmas. I lit into him. Why did you go looking into bags? Those weren't wrapped yet. I was going off until finally my husband says, oh, they were for Christmas? But the anger that I felt at this little boy, which I thought had opened up gifts ahead of time, just sent me into a rage. How much angrier must God be if y'all are opening up the wedding present before the wedding? Yeah. He's not pleased. So, well, the good news is that God is able to help us reclaim our virginity. He's able to help us to walk holy. He's able to help us to get it straight. I'm a witness. My husband's a witness. He's able to make the crooked straight. Mistakes that you've made in your past, he can make it straight. But back to this matter of images and labels. Images and labels. Many of you, this is Derek here. Derek, he's our president of the Young Adult Ministry up in Jersey. Y'all give it up for Derek real quick. Good brother. And this is his friend from Connecticut who rolled down with him, Lamont. And bottom line is, what Minister Dean is doing is what some of you are doing. Some of you are not saved, and you're taking on all these things that you're seeing in media. You're saying, wow, that pimp mentality, that looks really interesting. And then some of the sisters are, I need these are male. You know, I mean, some of you are taking on personas and identities that God never meant for you to have. Females beginning to act out like hoochies. Males beginning to act like thugs, taking on a thug mentality because it looks right. You see everybody doing it, right? It looks powerful. It looks like, wow, that's the way to go. And you wind up. See, we've got sticky pads here, but really these labels are more like bandages. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a little pap stick when you take on this persona. It's really like wrapping around you like grave clothes. So what happens is if you take on enough of these personas, if you take on enough of these images, eventually it's not just like, you know, an ace bandage. It's not just like an ace bandage. It's more like plaster of Paris. So eventually these labels that we take on ourselves, they begin to harden. And they harden us. And we're not able to walk right. We're not able to walk as Christians like we should. They begin to hold us back. So we've got all these labels, and this is kind of how some of you are. You begin to actually enjoy taking on some of the images of the world. You really begin to enjoy that. And this is men and women we're talking about, taking on these various images that we have portrayed. Could not get into all of them. But the bottom line is, you know, how do you know if you've adopted these fallen images that Satan has used to infiltrate the airways? How do you know if you're on his side or being used for his purposes? How do you know if you're walking in an identity that God never intended for you to have? How do you know that? Life in a fallen identity is tight, it's sticky, it's messy. Like I said, we've got neat sticky notes, but it's really messy when you're walking in an identity that God never had for you. It doesn't feel right. It's not fulfilling to you. And then how do you go on to reestablish your identity when there's been an identity theft? And that's really what these brothers are representing. The fact that the same sort of beautiful relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden is what God intends for his children. Those of us who are saved, who have given our lives to Jesus Christ, who are living for him, doing the best that we can, God intends for us to be restored to the beauty of an intimate relationship with him and harmonious relationships with our brothers and sisters. That's what God intends for us. So in terms of reestablishing that, one thing that we have to do is if somebody stole your identity, let's say they stole Marcia's identity, and somebody's using up her credit card, and she says, no, I'm really Marcia. One thing you could do is, yeah, you could look at pictures of her, and you could see images of what she looked like, right? Just like my son, our son who's 6. Bottom line is you could look at him. He looks like my husband spat him out. I mean, like mini-me. He's so much like my husband, it looks like I had nothing to do with him. So, really. But you could look at him and see that he's my husband's son. However, my husband has brothers that look similar to him. So if you lined up all 3 brothers and you said, whose child is this? You might not be able to tell. But the way that you could tell is through DNA analysis. Y'all see these old crazy Mari Povich shows and these old Jerry Springers and all these people. Blood tests, who's the daddy? And one person goes off the stage screaming and crying. And the brother's usually jumping up and down. Yes, I don't have to pay child support. The blood is one way, or saliva. The blood is one way, however, in our example, to prove whose you are. You guys change your shirts. the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. So the way to reestablish identity when there's been identity theft, you now realize that you may have been taking on personas that God never intended for you to walk in. You've got to look for the blood. Scripture tells us that the life is in the blood. Blood contains DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, the building blocks of life. The son, our son is ours. He looks like us, but like I said, that may not be enough. Go ahead and flash the other images, Maria in the back. The bottom line is that if you are not saved, then you're walking around automatically by default with those images that God never intended for you to walk in because you're not in fellowship with him. So the bottom line is that if you're not saved, you've got to take off the old man just like he took off that old shirt and to begin to put on Christ, begin to put on the things that Christ says that you are. He says you're above only the head and not the tail. He says that you're more than a conqueror. He says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He says that you're nobility. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. He says all these things about us. So there are four things that we now have to do if we realize either A, we are people who have never, ever, ever taken off that old man and put on Christ. We've never taken the first step and gotten saved and given our lives to the Lord. That's one category of person that's in the room even today. A second category is you are a Christian. If anybody asks you who's Jesus, you say he's the Son of God, he's the Lord of my life. But in the end, you now realize that you have begun to idolize worldly things and you begin to adopt personas and images and identities that God never intended for you to have. What you have got to do is begin to take off those old identities. And there are four steps. Those of you taking notes, just write these down real quick. And they're all found in Romans 12, 1 through 3. One, you've got to realize where you are. Recognize where you are. Realize it. Own up to the fact, I'm not saved. I realize that now. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need that. I need that relationship.
Right. Or I'm not walking right.
Yeah.
I've been dibbing and dabbing, skating, going along the fence, straddling. This is your life. The decisions that you make now will impact the next 10 to 15 years of your life. No joke. Mm-hmm. Living witness. Living witness. The decision that you make tonight will impact the next 10 to 15 years of your life. Living witness. Drug abuser. Knucklehead. Gangbanger, didn't follow God, almost died, health issues, drugs when I was your age, people that we know, one time, sexual experience, herpes, AIDS. We get phone calls all the time. What do? This isn't playtime. If you identify with any of these labels, anything that was on this thing, give it over to God.